Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Hope for Today for Friday, December 16th, 2011. I'm your host, Lynn Kindler, coming to you live. We've got an inspirational show for you full of information, inspiration, and hope when we interview people who are up to good things for healing the world. Please join us today for a truly inspiring interview with author, speaker, and traumatic brain injury thriver, Mark Elswick. As a 23-year-old, Mark Elswick had everything going for him, a good job, junior in college, baby on the way, loving family environment, and plenty of friends. Then something that had never crossed his mind interrupted his comfortable young life. Mark was involved in a bizarre, and it really was bizarre, auto accident, sustaining a severe traumatic brain injury. Following life support and a month-long coma, he was forced to relearn life's basic necessities. He had to retrain his brain to think, eat, walk, talk, and everything else imaginable. Mark was able to take the lessons he had learned from his parents and the strong examples of perseverance his father set, caring for his family of six to help him through his traumatic event. Needless to say, there is much more for you to know about Mark's truly amazing and inspiring story. So let's move on to the interview. Welcome, Mark. I'm so glad that you introduced yourself to me and Blog Talk Radio's Hope for Today so that we could find out who you are and what you're all about. We're very happy to have you join us.
Hi, Lynn. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me in.
You bet you. I just realized when listeners, I had shared some questions with Mark that I sent to him about what we would look at, and I just realized that, Mark, if you wanted to, you could give us a little bit of a bio about yourself as far as how you came to be who you are right now and what you're doing in relationship to your traumatic brain injury.
In addition to my first book being out, Had My Inner Guide Got to Bind Those and Other Tales, I'm going around speaking at various places. I've just started doing that and trying to raise awareness, generate a little bit of funding for Brain Injury Association of America. So everything I write and speak, a portion is donated. But more importantly, I'm just a little fish in the sea, and more importantly, just spreading awareness. People need to understand how common some of the brain injuries are. And what they can do if, for example, a concussion happens to their son, daughter, loved one.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about your mission and intent in sharing your story with others through your talks and this book. What do you hope that people get from you, Mark?
All right. As I explained, first things first, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, change medicine, change procedures, laws, or tackle issues that are bigger than one person. But like this show, I'm simply giving hope for today and spreading awareness as I go.
Yeah. The thing that kept jumping out at me over and over as I read your story, Mark, was your sense of humor, thank God, about what happened to you and your recovery along the way. How do you think having your humor has been possible for you?
Well, I actually think my humor was enhanced by having a traumatic brain injury, going through the things I went through, because, I am so sorry. I think my humor was enhanced, though, because when a person goes to a serious ordeal in life, life-threatening, then there is only one way that they can accept. Until they accept it, then life's going to be rough, and they're going to always wonder, what if I'd done this better, or that better, what if things were different? But when you accept that, hey, I've been given a raw deal in life, there's really nothing I can do except accept it, and move on. Then smile, laugh at your shortcomings, inadequacies. I have, for example, I have a horrible memory. My balance and coordination, often my speech is slurred. When I get tired, it's really slurred. But I sound like I'm drunk, and I can't tell you how many times people accuse me of being drunk or I've been drinking. That's not me. And you put the speech and the balance together, and not something to be proud of. And
no, I understand that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the best thing to do is accept it. When you can't, it's hard to get there, but when you can't accept that you've been given a raw deal, and that's okay. You're different. You're a little bit different, but that's okay. That's fine. You still can do a lot of things, and you have a lot going for you.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I love about you, Mark, because you're using this experience that you had as an opportunity to get out there in front of people and say, you know, okay, here it is. Here's the way I am. Here's what's going on. And if you're like this, there's hope here. I don't think I told you this, but I was in a really bad car wreck when I was 21.
Oh.
Yeah, I drove off an overpass, and I was drinking.
Ooh.
And I broke a whole bunch of stuff inside of me and was in the hospital for a month after that. And then 6 months later, they did more surgery on me. And I'm lucky that I didn't have traumatic brain injury, because I could certainly have had that. But, you know, I bet you can relate to this, Mark, because of the way you have the stories in your book, that when I go back, I can tell the story a couple of different ways. I can tell it to somebody and get all their symphony because it was really horrific and really embellish on it and talk about that. Or it's actually really hilarious when I go back and look at some of the things and you kind of tell it from a dark sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing funny about it, but what else are you going to do? You have to.
That's exactly right.
Laugh about it. You have to. My memory, I make fun of my memory all the time. If I didn't, I would be, oh, that's not fair. Why am I like this? It wasn't my fault. But,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And by the way, maybe I can use my car wreck as the reason that my memory is failing me now.
There you go.
So what I want to do is I want to tell people that your book, by the way, I'm going to make plugs throughout this talk with you. Mark's email, his website is Mark with a K, and then it's ELSWICK.com. And you can go to his website to get his book and look at where he's speaking and all kinds of stuff like that. And this book he's got is called Padman, A Dad's Guide to Buy-In, ... and other tales. So that kind of gives you a hint to his humor mm-hmm. there. And he was up for a Pushcart Award. And Mark, you've gotten all kinds of recognition for this book. So what do you hope your book today, and I'm betting future books tomorrow, will do to help any TBI persons who read it or listen to it?
Well, my first book, as you said, Padman, A Dad's Guide to Buy-In, Pause,
yeah.
Those, and Other Tales, was released the last day of September. And to sum it up, it's hope and humor. Two words, hope
yes.
and humor. That's the whole book. If you read it, then you'll understand exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that I've shown how important it is, laughter is in your life, toward your healing process. My passion is traumatic brain injury, but it could be any illness, injury, disease. I hope I've shared how important I feel laughter is to all that. Laughter, with good news, you're going to laugh. With bad news, there are going to be tears probably. If people are laughing,
sure.
they're forgetting the negative aspects of their daily life, which a traumatic brain injury survivor could be a lot of negative aspects.
Yes.
But the more you laugh, the easier it is to cope, and the more capable you are of doing. I want people to laugh, smile, and see there's hope with this book. There is hope. Laugh.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Mark, so do you still today, are you doing, do you work with an occupational therapist or a physical therapist?
No, I don't. I did for a while, but I don't know.
Yeah, so you just do your own thing. I mean, my gosh, writing a book was probably a very good exercise for you in a number of ways.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I actually started writing Real Pet. My daughter will be 19 next month. And
wow.
She was 12 when I started writing Padman. When I wrote the original story, the main story, Padman, it's all true story about when she woke me up one morning, on Saturday morning, she was with me for the weekend. Dad, I need Pad. And I just froze. All I could think was elbow pads for gym, knee pads for volleyball. and I didn't even want to admit that that's what she wanted. But it's all true story. It's all in there. But I wrote that like 7 years ago. And then I live now by the moniker Dream, Hope, and Believe. And I dreamed that one day it was going to be published as a book. It would be a book. And I've written the other stories in there. I've written through the years since that, so 7 years in the works. And you're right, it was great therapy. I think that's the word you use, therapy.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know how it is when we work on things in our own life and we are willing to be transparent to other people so that they can see. It makes us, first of all, it makes us accessible and safer for other people to be able to let down their guard and be honest about what's going on with them. I mean, what you're doing, Mark, is very courageous because you're doing that. You're stepping out there and saying, here I am, here's what's going on. So all you other TBI people, you know, it's okay. There's hope here for you. And speaking of that, how are you connecting with the servicemen and women who have returned and are still returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who have experienced TBI? Because you know there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot. I honestly never had the privilege of serving our great nation at all. But our military heroes overseas are, as you see in the news all the time, bringing the war home. And what do they mean by that? They're bringing TBI, traumatic brain injuries, home. And in fact, statistics show that 20% of all deployed military personnel have incurred at least one traumatic brain injury. A concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury. People need to realize that. A concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury. But then again, there's no such thing as a mild traumatic brain injury. They're all can be severe. So that's 20% of all those people have incurred one TBI. Think about that. That's one of every five returning deployed soldiers will come home with and have to live with a traumatic brain injury.
That's right.
So you think you don't know anyone with a traumatic brain injury, think you're above it, and you don't feel about it, wrong. Because chances are you're going to know someone real soon. With military bringing the war home, and there are 1.5 million instances each year of a traumatic brain injury.
That's
number
right.
is astounding. And look at it, every 20 seconds a TBI happens. So
that's right.
Those numbers that are going to happen and are happening, put those on top of the already 5.3 million people living with some form of disability from a traumatic brain injury. Those numbers are just staggering. That's huge. It's so scary. People need to be aware.
Yeah. Tell everybody, Mark, what you were telling me before we went live on air about what you're going to do with the books that you sell. That was so cool.
Oh, all right. My book, Padman, is available through Barnes & Noble bookstores all over. It's available through BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, ModernHistoryPress.com, my website. But here's the deal. If I can sell through me personally, not through Barnes & Noble, not through anyone, but I want to keep tabs on it, running tabs, and you can follow it on my Dream, Hope, and Believe page on my website, MarkHelton.com. If I could sell 2,500 books by, I think it's March 1st. It could be March 31st. I kind of looked down. I'm sorry. I think it was March 1st. But if I can sell 2,500 books, I'm going to, well, before that, let me slow down. I'm sorry. If I can sell, I think it's 750 books by February 1st, I will fly 400 books. I'll have them flown over to Iraq or Afghanistan just for hope and humor. And it's short, so stories are short. So it's not like a 500-page novel they have to read sometimes. But stories, you could read a story in 20, 25 minutes. And that's perfect. But if I can sell 2,500 books, then I'm going to fly over there and take 1,000 books, take them over there, sign books, shake a lot of hands, and everybody who is writing the book, I want you in there with me. So I will be making a lot of YouTube videos, taking a lot of YouTube videos so you can follow every step of the way. And
that's great.
And stay up on it.
Mark, people that know me know that I'm chomping at the bit. I'm thinking, okay, so have you sent some books to the White House? Have you sent books to the VA? Have you sent books to 60 Minutes producers? You know, because this is Cooper Anderson. You know, your story is good, and more than that, Mark, it's who you are, you know, the person you are. I was going to ask you, have you ever heard of a guy? He's a doctor. His name is Ronald J. Glasser. And I need to send you the link to him. His last name is spelled Glasser, and he's been writing books about what's going on right now as far as how the people are coming back from the war for a while. And because he's been seeing the TBI stuff, you guys, I need to hook you guys up together. I'll have to do an introductory email with you guys. But because he has a lot of information about the reason that these wars, the Iraq and the Afghanistan war, have been so different than any war in the past, is because of how we're able to live through a lot of things that we used to not be able to live through. And consequently, now I'm paraphrasing this is just my memory, consequently, because of the IED, there's a lot of, the statistics are really up about the people getting traumatic brain injuries because the helmets, you know, aren't breaking and aren't, you know, going away. They're doing what they should do, but then your head is in there and the brain's in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you know all that stuff. But, remind me. I would love to do an introductory email to you guys because I think you'd appreciate the information he has, and I know he would appreciate knowing you.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So why is it important to you? Because I noticed that on your website that you donate some of the proceeds from this first book of yours to the caregivers and for people who have suffered TBI and to raise awareness about TBI. Why is that important for you to do?
Well, donating the money, as I said earlier, I'm a small fish in a big sea, so I'm not going to make a huge dent financially, I'm sure, to them. But
mm-hmm.
Raising awareness is huge. I'm going to speak now on an initial, what I want to become, a dream, hope, and belief tour, and talk on a simple concussion. People think it's no big deal. Wrong. That's the mildest form of a traumatic brain injury. A mild traumatic brain injury, a concussion. They are still a traumatic brain injury. And with the severe traumatic brain injury, we're not doctors, so we can't really help initially. We just wait. But with a mild concussion, or a mild traumatic brain injury, or concussion, we are in control a lot more. For instance, so many people have no clue what rest is. You can say, what's rest? Just laying there, whatever. People don't understand. That's all part of the education. Educate America. And I want people to understand, rest is more than just laying around watching TV or whatever. Rest is no brain stimulus. Three words. No brain activity whatsoever.
Mm.
Rest is, that's rest. As adults, you need to know that. Everybody needs to know that because with sports injuries, they're huge. Football, I'll use an example. Hockey, soccer, it could be anything. But football's the biggest. And if your son comes home with a concussion and rest, that doesn't mean sit at home playing video games, watching a movie, just resting on the couch, watching a movie, reading a book. It's no brain activity. And America needs to understand that. Then I'm, you know, like I said, I'm a small fish. I'm donating a portion of the proceeds to Brain Injury Association of America so they can better do what I'm doing, but they'll do it on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
I'm just trying
to
get
you
back.
Know, So do you know how, what your, why was it considered, besides the obvious, that you had a traumatic brain injury? Do you know what was injured in your brain?
I wish I could, and I'm quite horrible for not being able to tell you all the technical terms, wars into my brain, but no, I really can't give you a list of things.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, Mark, don't worry about that because I'm just a weirdo. I love to know those kind of technical things, so don't worry about that.
I should know that. You're right. I should know that.
Yeah. No. But you did know that, you know, like in your book you describe about, you know, the doctors telling you, well, first of all, that nobody thought you were going to live, and then they thought that you were going to be a vegetable,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you just kept pushing the bar, you know, so to speak.
The brain is such an amazing thing. It's so sensitive, and you have no idea of predicting who's going to rehabilitate, who's going to recover, because the brain is that sensitive. Like me, I was in a coma. Parents told the first day, if he has any brothers or sisters, get him up here because he won't make it through the day. But 2 weeks later, they took him off life support and said, well, we're going to take him off, but if he ever does regain consciousness, he's going to be a vegetable the rest of his life, so be ready for it. Then I know people that didn't receive that type of prognosis prediction, and they are in kind of bad shape. So you never know.
Yeah, that's true. Is there any advice or suggestions or comments that you would like to say to any TBI caregivers out there who are listening? What can you give them from a TBI's point of view about being a caretaker?
Never stop dreaming, hoping, and believing. Dream that one day, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a lot of work and time, but dream that that love victim will be who you think are who they were. Hope that one day dreams will be realized. And then most importantly, never stop believing that it one day will all come true. A friend of mine, Diana Stroud, she read her daughter, Brooke Stroud, who's in Padman, the book Padman. Brooke Stroud. Well, Diana read the entire Twilight series to her daughter. Severe traumatic brain injury. She read the entire series to her. And because she said she knew she loved that stuff. So I guess I'll borrow her words. Never stop doing what they want. You know, their music, their TV, their radio, anything, books. Never stop doing what they like because you never know. Never give up.
That's right.
Always dream, hope, and believe.
By the way,
I'm sure Diana's listening, and hopefully her Brooke will listen, but they're big on Team Edward. I'm hoping they're going to go to Team Mark, but that's up to them.
Diana
will get that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is true. I don't know if it's just this country or just people in general, the masses. People are kind of weird when it comes to when something physical or mental has happened to you. It's like we don't really talk about how to be with each other about that. I remember when I got out of the hospital, I had my jaw wired and I had all these bruises all over me, and I was walking on crutches. And I remember when we went into the grocery store, I mean, I knew that I was on crutches and stuff, but this little boy turned away from me into his mom's leg because he was scared of me. And it was like, wow, you know? So, you know, this is good to be able to get out there, and what I like to term it as is taking the booga booga out of traumatic brain injury. It's like, here it is. Here I am. Here's what's going on. And like you were talking about, you know, balance, sometimes not having good balance or talking with a slur, it's like, this is it, guys. You know, is this really as scary as you think it is? You know.
I have some problems, but I know how I could be, so I'm okay with having problems. Like I said, you have to accept. I'm okay because I know how I could, maybe should, what they said be. And I'm okay with any problem I have.
Yeah. So name a few people for us or things that you are most grateful for these days.
I don't have enough time.
That's a good problem to have.
My family and friends, absolutely. my parents mm-hmm. took me home after like 3 months in the hospital. They took me home and made sure I was okay until I was fortunate enough to regain my independence and be able to thrive on my own. My friend, more specifically, my lifelong best friend, Bill Eckert, for example, he never stopped calling, checking, worrying. I'm lucky, though. I had a lot of friends like that, a lot of people like that in my life that always were there offering support and help and wouldn't have let me slip through the cracks, so to speak. You see that a lot. There are fun stories about traumatic brain injury victims who wind up homeless because they're helpless. And they didn't have the support network I was fortunate enough to have. I'm just so fortunate. And listeners, if you know anyone who suffered a traumatic brain injury or struggling, it's like you were saying a minute ago, there's something wrong with them. It's not contagious. It's not anything. Help them somehow. If you start by tell them about a support group in your area. Tell them how to get to a support group. Help them get involved. If you're not sure, but you know someone, but you're not going to help, email me, mark@markelswick.com, MarkElswick.com. I'll see if somehow I can help. No matter where you are, a traumatic brain injury or brain injury, I guarantee you, not you laying on anyone, I guarantee you, it's like nothing you can't imagine it. It's nothing you've ever experienced, and God willing, you never will, but it's way beyond anything you can imagine. You can't even imagine it. I guarantee you can't imagine it. A person can look perfectly healthy, but if their brain's distorted a bit, they have problems. But like I said, TBI is not contagious. We're not mean. We're not stupid. People think we're not retarded, our word, retarded.
Yes.
There are some problems going on, and we've been dealt a raw deal. Traumatic brain injury is very, very common and need your support. In fact, I got into on Facebook. If you haven't added me, add me. Author Mark Elvis, add me. But on Facebook, a couple days ago, I got into a big debate with a friend of mine. And because spreading awareness, he felt that maybe this was going too far. But I don't feel like it doesn't have to be traumatic brain injury. I think we owe it to everyone, to one another, to spread awareness about anything. As human beings, we owe it to look out for one another. If a family member of yours is affected, trust me, you will, I guarantee it again, take any help and education you can get. You'll be scouring the internet for information. Help each other. That's just being human.
That's right. You know, I've known from all the stuff that I've done to get a better grip on life that what is the most helpful thing for me in getting more conscious and help is to be of service to others, you know, to help other people. And, you know, in the AA Big Book, they have these things called the promises, and they talk about we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, because the theory is that, you know, you can use your story to help other people that may be experiencing the same kind of thing that you're experiencing. So this is great that you're getting out there and just, you know, letting people know that they're not alone and, you know, getting some awareness out there about it. I was curious, Mark. I wanted to know what your next book will be, because I just have a sense that you're going to be writing another book.
I'm hoping I'm going to be writing a few more books. My next one is slated for March of 2012 release, and it is Traumatic Brain Injury, Milestones in Recovery. It'll be very helpful, very hopeful, and like Padman is mostly humor with some hope, this will be purely hope. For instance, if you go swimming, when you go in the ocean or the lake, whatever, you don't usually jump right in full body. You wade in, all right? Well, Padman, you wade it in. Readers have waded in. They read it, and it's mostly hope, something, or it's mostly humor, something we're all comfortable with, and waded in and got a little bit of the hope story. Well, TBI milestones in recovery will be a lot of hope stories, but it will also include different aspects of TBI survivors' road to recovery. For example, there will be parts that talk about therapy, for instance, physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, and
yes.
Something that most people have no idea what any of that does is what you do. And then there will also be a part about traumatic brain injury at home. There are some homes across the nation that typically house traumatic brain injury survivors.
Yes, yes.
It's going to be very helpful. There will be something about comas that there are like, I don't want to give it all away, but there are like 7 or 8 parts. I don't have the outline in front of me, but there's 7 or 8 parts, and then there are chapters in each of those parts. But another part would be about comas. People do not understand comas, how comas are determined. The Glasgow Coma Scale is widely used. So
that's interesting.
That's the same publisher, Modern History Press. And by the way, if you haven't checked out Modern History Press, everything my publisher does is about hope and survival. I'm quite confident that you, Lynn, would love it because everything is about survival determination. No negativity whatsoever. It's kind of the same attitude I have for it. That's why I love where I'm being published at. Perfect.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. That's great to give them a plug. I love, you know, letting people know about that. It doesn't all have to be, you know, so negative. It seems like sometimes in the media we tend to go to the negative thing because if it bleeds, it sells, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, right? So as we look forward to 2012, what are some landmarks and or personal goals that you are looking forward to achieving and experiencing for yourself, Mark?
My 2012 goals are pretty simple, I guess. I signed the publishing contract originally in July of 2011, and basically my life's been fast forward ever since. I dreamed a while ago I'd publish a book, well, despite my limitations. And now my second book, this is all part of, hopefully, my brain injury survivors can see this. I dreamed a while ago, I told you, I wrote the story, Padma, when my daughter was 12, and now she'll be 19. The book was published a couple months ago. All right, so 7 years ago, I started writing, and because I dreamed, hoped, and believed, I dreamed that one day it would be in a book. I knew it wasn't going to be in. I knew I was way too far down, but I dreamed it would be one day. I hope I'd be better enough to, and I became better enough to have that published in a book. And now my second book is slated for March. Things are really looking up. And it's funny, I guess, because I used to believe I could do anything after I was able to finally accept. I lost all that, and then after I was able to accept my lot in life, well, then, well, now, I believe I can do anything again.
That's great.
This whole thing has restored my confidence because I've dreamed, hoped, and believed. It's restored my confidence, and I feel invincible again. Only because now, this time, I know I'm not invincible. But
yeah.
I have some really big plans in store. For instance, can I tell you about other plans? Do I have more time?
Oh, yeah. Yes, please. Right. We've got plenty of time.
All right. Good. All right. Well, I want to write. Everything I ever write is going to be, have a portion of it donated to a cause. That's what I want, because I want to give back. I was spared, and I want to give back. So this is how I can give back. And everything I write will be given to a cause. For instance, I want to write about other injuries, disease, illnesses. Autism is a very big one I want to get into covering. And my aunt, Pat Spahn, and her husband, Tim Spahn, and my aunt and uncle, and my friend and her husband, Monica Foster and Luke Foster, well, they're going to help me decide what cause that I'm going to donate to for autism, and that is how I want to do things. Whatever I write, speak, earn money from, I want to donate to a cause. Padman has started that in Brain Injury Association of America, and to tell you how I determined them, mostly I taught Brooke's mother, Diana. I talked to her about it a lot, and she was all for Brain Injury Association of America. We both sat down and looked through some stuff, and she looked through how to do, and we talked and decided, yep, Brain Injury Association of America is the way to go. So that's how that was. Now, Monica Luke, my aunt Pat, and Uncle Tim are going to pick somewhere for me to donate to autism when I get to that point when the book is going.
That's really cool. You know, because I'm a writer, I have a blog with a lot of articles, and at some point I'm either going to put together an e-book. I'm definitely going to put together an e-book. And by the way, Mark, you have really raised the bar for me. If you can do it, I can do it. And I would love to be able to write a column somewhere consistently and be able to do it. But I love this idea of, you know, having a specific, you know, like tithing or donating a certain portion of that to go towards something that I really believe in and that I want to help. That helps me, that helps me wrap my mind around it and, you know, get it out of just being about getting attention for me, you know, even though I want to help people. But, you know, because that way I can tell. I was just reading your bio, and I wanted people to know this about you, that, you know, after your accident, that you returned to college against your therapist's wishes. Gives you a little bit of insight into Mark. And because it was too early and you struggled with your memory and concentration and got put on probation. But since that time, you graduated from the University of Michigan Flint with a BA in English and a double minor in writing and British literature. By the way, British literature is great, but, you know, that's good that you have that. And then you earned your MA from Central Michigan University. Yes, I want to hear.
British literature. All right, American literature, I didn't like at all. But British literature, I like Shakespeare a lot. Maybe corny, I don't know, but Shakespeare I like a lot. British literature was really interesting, but American lit, I think I had one class in American literature. I wasn't a fan at all. And see, we'll talk about this because this is a great example. Memory, people don't understand memory. Long-term is two types of memory, long-term memory and short-term memory. My long-term memory, I can remember 30 years ago pretty vividly. I remember high school days, elementary days. I remember, college days. I remember all that stuff. But 30 minutes ago, if I don't write it down or repeat it over and over and over in my brain, I'm probably going to forget. So my long-term memory is good. My short-term memory is not so much.
Yeah. So what did you get your MA in?
Well, I did in athletic administration because I wanted to be an athletic director or a coach. See, I'm jumping right over here. I have to go back. My original dream, I was going to be an ESPN commentator. And that was my feat. I was going to be an ESPN commentator. Well, after all this happened, then I went to grad school, and I wanted to coach college basketball or be an athletic director in high school. So I went that route. And that didn't really turn out because my speech, though it sounds slurred and bad now, it's a lot better than it was 10 years ago. And you can imagine what employers are thinking. You have this gap in your resume where you didn't work at all, and then they talk to you, and you sound like you're drunk. You can imagine they're not beating down your door. That's another issue that anybody with traumatic brain injury has to face. But so I didn't obviously go into that, but that's why the master's is in that field.
You know, you're a walking, talking sports movie just waiting to happen with your life. You know, I am such a sucker for them. Rudy, I can't tell you how many times I've watched Rudy. you know, all those movies, I'm just like, you know, so I could just, Americans, a good thing about us as en masse is that we like to support the underdog. So, yeah. You know, who knows? Yeah, because you've done everything. I mean, you've been a sports writer, a sports editor, a substitute teacher in junior high, a teacher, college professor, and university coordinator. I mean, you've done a lot of different things. And actually, that's probably because I used to be a recruiter. I can tell you that it's probably really good that you have a diverse background like that, because nowadays people don't usually stay in jobs like they used to. You know, it's just, it's a whole different world out there. Technology has just really opened up everything. So, yeah, that's great. So you understand about those movies. Did you, this is really off subject, but did you see the movie Moneyball?
That's the new one, Brad Pitt, right?
Yes, you've got to go see it. It's a true story. Yeah, it's a true story.
I wanted to go see that. I never did, but I definitely will check it out on DVD.
Yeah, it's awesome. So why don't you tell us, Mark, what are three important points that you would like to leave with our listeners today to think about?
Well, that's kind of easy, I guess, because I've hit on it as we talk, dream, hope, and believe. I might use it too much, but I don't care, because dream, hope, and believe is on your road to recovery. You have to dream. You're going to be what you want to be, who you want to be. You have to hope that it's going to come true, and believe. Never stop believing in yourself. Even when everybody else does, doctors, experts, therapists, whatever, are thinking you're not going to do much more than breathe, and don't stop believing in yourself.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Well, I can hardly believe it, but we're almost down to the count, and I'm just thank you, Mark, for coming in and sharing with us. I know that I'm feeling hopeful and energized about the future. Just in talking with you back and forth with emails and reading your book and now this interview, I know that many listeners are feeling the same way about you and will feel the same way about you, because they can go and download the podcast, you know, and listen to this too. So please tell us where, again, people can go on the web to find out more about you and where you're speaking and how to buy your book.
All right. You can go to www.markelswick.com, and everything is there. You can follow the media room / calendar, and I keep that up to date every day with what's going on, where I'm speaking, where I'm interviewing, where I'm speaking, whatever's going on. So Dream, Hope, and Belief page is keeping. I haven't done it today. I didn't do it yesterday, but I have to update that because I sold few books in the last couple of days, so I have to update that, and if anyone buys a book from me, it'll be added to that. Hopefully, I can get to 2,500 sales by March 1st, and then I'll be flying over to Iraq or Afghanistan,
so cool.
And then there'll be a ton of YouTube videos, so every one of you listening can go with me and see it all unfold and meet a lot of people and hear some of their stories.
That's awesome. I want to help you make that happen. I'm encouraging everybody that's listening, go buy a book so that Mark can get over there. And I see that your next time that you're going to be speaking is on February 22nd, 2012 at 7 a.m. at the Flint Rotary Club. So for those of you guys that are in Michigan, you know, keep that up. And he has a really good, on his calendar, he has all kinds of where you can go and see where he's going to be and what's going on. And like Mark said, he keeps it really updated. So awesome. Well, this was a very cool time to get to spend with you, Mark. And let's definitely keep in touch. I want to hook you up with Ron Glasser. I'm glad you're in my life. So thank you. And by the way, Merry Christmas. And
thank you so much for having me on. This has been awesome. I really appreciate
pleasure.
It. And anyone listening,
you
have a Merry Christmas as well, and great holiday season.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you, listeners, for joining us on Blog Talk Radio's Hope for Today. I hope that you are feeling as hopeful about tomorrow as I am today. Please join us in the new year for many heart and mind-expanding shows that are lined up just for you to listen to and enjoy on Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. In the meantime, please have a safe and enjoyable holiday, however you celebrate the season. Until then, adios, amigos, and may you have an abundance of hope for today. Bye now.